Morgan was a massive land. It had to be to fit the size of its inhabitants. The smallest Gorgon Wisfiddle could recall was still larger than the largest giant he had ever seen. Various texts described how a group of wizards remodeled this area of Ononokin as a testament to the power of combined transfigurations. In one particular historical recollection, notes in the margin pointed out how the newly grown Gorgons accidentally stomped out the wizards as they ran around looking for giant fig leaves to cover themselves up with. The trees stood hundreds of feet tall, and the shrubbery was tens of feet high. It was often too much for the average mind to accept, so Wisfiddle just pretended the shrubs were the trees, and the trees were a figment of his imagination. It worked for him.
"Well done, Gungren," Wisfiddle said in a nasty tone. "Your recklessness has just landed us in one of the most dangerous places in the upper world."
Gungren kicked at the dirt as Beckner patted him on the shoulder reassuringly.
"I not do it on purpose."
"Oh, did the button press itself, then?"
"No,"
Wisfiddle agreed. "It didn't. You did. And now we are in the land of the real giants until the portal activates again."
"Real giants?" Orifin asked, his face holding a look of awe.
"Yes," Wisfiddle said, as he rummaged through his bag to top off a mug of ale. "Not the 15-footers like Gungren here should be, but the 30-to-40-footers that have a standing rule when they see any little biped. Kill it."
Wisfiddle drank deeply, letting the power flow through his veins. He kept his eyes closed and counted silently to 10 and back down again. He wasn't even a day into this adventure, and things were already falling apart. It had to be him. Every quest he'd ever been a part of ran into all sorts of difficulties, even the small ones. He recalled one assignment where all he had to do was help a child find a lost doll. It had taken 2 weeks and a trip to Flametark Island, which meant he had to cross the ocean, and he so despised the ocean. Then he had picked his way through Kesper's range, travelled through Dahl, where he was coerced by Trenneth's parents to take the young man on as an apprentice, then through Metrion, and finally back to the child's home in Argon. He had nothing to show for his journey other than a few scars and a feeling of unmitigated failure. As Wisfiddle arrived, the child came running outside with a doll in hand, saying it had been under her bed. The parents explained that she had found it only minutes after Wisfiddle had left to begin the quest, and that they had no way to get hold of him.
"We'll be here for weeks," Wisfiddle hissed.
He sighed and took another shot of ale. Who knew that a simple dolly quest could have wreaked so much havoc in a wizard's life, and have such far-reaching consequences?
"Yes, Zell,"
Wisfiddle said, sensing Zell's hand was up.
Did you say weeks, sir?" "That's what I said. It could be weeks. A portal doesn't stay open after you use it. Something to do with charging or whatever. I'm not a technician."
"That doesn't make any sense," Orifin said. "Certainly a lot of people use these things."
"Portal locations are on the power grid," said Wisfiddle. "So when you land, it is immediately recharged. But that's in the underworld. Most of the upper world ones are hidden, as you may recall when we searched for the one outside of Rangmoon. These require more time to recharge."
He pointed at a set of shiny squares that sat on top of the portal.
"These things collect the rays of the sun, or something like that. Again, I'm not technical."
"Can we force it open?" Beckner said.
"I've never known anyone that could," Wisfiddle replied. "Even if you could, it may not have enough juice to get us back anyway."
"You could,"
Gungren said.
"I could what?"
"Use magic to make portal have juice."
Theoretically, that was true, but no matter how many spells he had tried to get the blasted portals open after they'd shut down, he'd never succeeded. Typically, he would just sag to the ground, thank the 12 for giving him enough foresight to pack extra ale and foodstuffs, and then he'd lay low for a while. The problem was that he had only a month to accomplish this mission, or he faced a long time of watching others practice magic while he stood on the sidelines. Wisfiddle turned his back on them and dug into his pack for another helping of ale and an apple. Idun's apples were the best, and they always seemed to bring him some calm. He could have sworn that they were enhanced with something pleasant. Idun always gave away the first apple, then you had to start paying for them. Worth every silver, Wisfiddle thought as he chewed.